How you doing? How was your week? I'd like to just spend an hour with everybody, just catching up, because I know there's been a lot going on in a lot of people's lives. Isn't it neat to recognize that each of us has a story? All of us has something going on, a lot of things going on. I can look at each of you and know a little bit of your story, and know that there's excitement there, but there's also some concerns, aren't there, with each of us? And as we come this morning, not only does the Holy Spirit desire to fill us with His joy, but He desires to meet us where we are. Amen? Amen? Amen. A famous motivational speaker was once asked about what could have been his most difficult speech. He answered, "Well, it was when I was asked to speak at a national convention of undertakers. My topic was to explain to them how to look sad during a $20,000 funeral." It's hard to keep the joy inside from showing. Amen. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. I'm going to ask Brad to go ahead and put that up if you can. Joel's hard to find. I think I can find him, but there you are. Thanks, Brad. You saved your pastor. "And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, and blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the survivors whom the Lord calls." Well, today we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. Pentecost was a long celebrated holiday even before the church came along. And we often recognize Pentecost as the birthday of the church, but did you know that God instituted the festival of Pentecost hundreds of years prior to Him establishing the church? We recognize it as the day that the disciples were all in the upper room waiting for the Holy Spirit's arrival. And He did. He arrived. They're waiting, at least in part, came to an end. Jesus' word had been fulfilled. However, Pentecost has a long and rich history in the lives of the Jewish people. If you go back and read in the Old Testament, you'll discover that Pentecost was one of the Jewish feast days. This was a Jewish feast day that you had to attend. There were three Jewish feast days that all pilgrims throughout the known world had to come back to Jerusalem. This wasn't an option. Pentecost was church, and it wasn't an option. Amen? Just had to throw that out there. And they all came, and they brought their tithes, and they were ready to celebrate. Now, they didn't have the postal service where they could put their tithe in the mail. They didn't have the online giving option that we have today on our website to give online. Rather, they brought their tithes into the storehouse. And Pentecost was one of those grand celebrations. Pentecost was its Greek name. Therefore, you're not going to see it in the Old Testament because they called it a different name. It was mentioned, though, in Exodus 23, 24, Leviticus chapter 16, Numbers 28, Deuteronomy 16. It was the celebration of the early harvest. They celebrated two harvests. The first one was the wheat harvest, which is the one that Pentecost that we're focusing on today. And then the final harvest came in the fall. Pentecost was the celebration of the beginning of the early wheat harvest, which meant that Pentecost always fell sometime in the middle of the month of May or sometimes in early June. There are three things that you need to know about Pentecost. First, it was a pilgrim festival. That meant, according to Jewish law, that all Jewish adult men would come from wherever they were back to Jerusalem to personally be in attendance for this festival. Secondly, Pentecost was a holiday. No work was to be done. School was out. Shops were closed. It was full-on party time. Finally, there were certain celebrations and sacrifices and offerings which were prescribed in the law for the day of Pentecost. On Pentecost, the high priest was to take two loaves of freshly baked wheat bread. And everybody said, amen. Can you smell it? Fresh out of the oven? On the day of Pentecost, the high priest was to take two loaves of freshly baked wheat bread and offer them before the Lord. The wheat bread was made, obviously, from the newly harvested wheat. In short, Pentecost, in the time of the apostles, was an incredible celebration from people all over the known world. That's key. Because that's when the Holy Spirit came. And there's more to that. Like Paul Harvey says, we're going to talk about the rest of the story. People came, pilgrims came from every point of the compass back to Jerusalem to celebrate. Now, it was during this feast that the Holy Spirit came. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We read it a little bit ago. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, like the sound of a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. Huh? Pentecost. Old Testament Pentecost. Every nation, when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed. Utterly amazed. These Galilean guys who were followers of Jesus were speaking multiple languages. And they said, aren't all these guys are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us are hearing them in our own tongue? And then all of the different provinces and regions and cities are listed there in that second chapter of Acts. What does this mean? They ask each other. How could this be? Now let's fast forward. If we look at this scripture this morning, we recognize that the coming of the Holy Spirit had something to do with the communication of the gospel. Amen? had something to do with the communication of the gospel across cultural barriers and languages. It's a beautiful thing. Now, there's another festival I want us to look at this morning that directly ties into what we're talking about today, because Jesus himself, in John chapter 7, promised all of us the Holy Spirit. John chapter 7, which, as you're familiar with the Gospel of John, it's early in Jesus' ministry. Aren't you just eating this up? Isn't this good? Man, I love Sundays. Getting into the Word, digging it up. Hey, when the Word speaks, it changes our lives. Amen? Let's look. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. Get this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. Up to that point, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This is a different feast. This is the feast of the Festival of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Booths, is the seventh and last feast that the Lord commanded Israel to observe. And again, one of the three that you had to be at. Amen. Have you ever missed a church service and everybody is talking about that one? And it's like, oh man. And they were like, man, you should have been there. It was amazing. God moved. This was one of those three mandatory church events, mandatory festivals, that according to the law of Moses, you had to be at. You didn't miss this one. I wish I could make all church services mandatory. Amen. I wish I could just write it on the wall. You got to be here. But it doesn't work that way anymore, does it? Only the Spirit has that authority to speak in those terms. This is the seventh and last feast that the Lord commanded Israel to observe, and one of the three feasts that the Jews were to observe each year by going before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose. You had to be there, and you had to be where God wanted you to be. The importance of the Feast of the Tabernacles can be seen in how many places in Scripture, and if you want to research these feasts, it's amazing how it unfolds the story of Jesus. All of these feasts that the Jews participated in tell a portion of the story of Jesus. We can only focus on two this morning. In the Bible, we see many important events that took place at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. For one thing, it was at this time that Solomon's temple was dedicated to the Lord. Now, let me give us a... Did you catch that? It was during the Feast of Tabernacles that the Temple of Solomon, which is... its foundations are still there today, it was the day that was dedicated. Let's look at the Feast of Tabernacles for a moment. It took place on the 15th of the Hebrew month Tishri. This was the seventh month on the Hebrew calendar and usually occurs in late September or mid-October. The feast begins 5 days after the Day of Atonement and at the time of the fall harvest, the time the fall harvest had just been completed. It was a time of joyous celebration and celebration for the provision that God had made into the lives of those traveling Hebrews who were out there wandering around in the desert. Are y'all with me? They didn't have a shoestring to live on. Are y'all with me? They had nothing. God released them out of the hands of Pharaoh. And they walked around out there and they looked at Moses and said, "What in the world did you get us into?" How many of you have been there? You look at God and you say, "What is this? How did I get here? There's nothing to live on. This is desert. This is wilderness." Moses, you got to blame somebody, so you blame your spiritual leader. "Look what you just did. Were there no graves out here that we could, no graves back there that we could be buried in, that so you'd have to bring us out here to bury us in the sand? At least back there we had onions or leeks to eat." The Festival of Tabernacles, the Festival of Booths, was a celebration of God showing up and providing when there was nothing, there were no raw resources to provide from. Remember the water from the rock? They were dying of thirst. God said, "Moses, touch the rock with your staff." You remember what God, you remember, it hit the rock. He was frustrated. How many times do you want to hit the rock? You know, God says, "Just do it my way, do it my way." You get frustrated, hit the rock. No. Easy, Moses. Don't short-circuit God's blessing. Remember what happened after Moses hit the rock? He wasn't able to enter the promised land after that. Don't short-circuit the blessing because we're unwilling to wait and unwilling to do it God's way. God says to do it one way, we need to do it that way. Amen? Don't rush it. With the influx of people coming to Jerusalem at that time, we can only imagine what the scene must have been like. Thousands upon thousands, literally. I'm not making this stuff up. A sea of people came back into Jerusalem from all over the known world to celebrate God's provision. God's provision from nothing. Just like He created the heavens and the earth. Today we call it the Big Bang, and we think we've come up with the origin of everything, but God takes nothing and makes something. Amen? And He does that with His people. Thousands upon thousands of people coming together to celebrate the Lord's deliverance and the Lord's provision. If you're not living there now, you will probably at some point in your life have to rely completely on the Lord's provision, because what's coming in the mail and the paycheck and the automatic deposit just isn't enough. Having faith in Him that He will provide. They were all, the Festival of Booths, the Festival of Tabernacles is the name that they referred to it as. And it's that, you remember, as they were wandering around in the desert, some people said, "Well, let's put up a permanent structure." And every time they went to Moses and Joshua with that, they said, "No, because this isn't our final home." Friends, we need to be careful about how tightly we hold the things that we are blessed with. Amen? It's okay to enjoy them, and it's okay to give God credit for them, and it's okay to treasure those things. But friends, we're only passing through. Amen? If we don't get this right in regards to our perspective, where we're at now and where we're going to spend eternity, we are only not even a minute dot in perspective of all eternity. The 70 or so years that we're spending here is just not even a blip. Amen? There is an eternity coming where we'll spend forever and ever praising the Lord Jesus Christ and living out in joy and happiness and fulfillment, whatever our gifts are that He's designed us with uniquely. Let's be careful about how tightly we grip these things, because these things may be the resources that help someone make it into the kingdom. And if we lock them all up, Maybe God has different plans. He wants us to be a channel of His blessing. Amen. And as we give, the Lord uses that to open doors and bring people in. It's one of the exciting things about the offering. During the 8th day period, so many sacrifices were made that it required all 24 divisions of priests to be present to assist in the sacrificial duties. Wouldn't it be awesome to have not just 2 counters, but 24 counters up there working the calculator? You know what I'm saying? As we all bring in the offerings, recognizing God's provision in the face of nothing, look what God has done. We find God's instructions for celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles in Leviticus chapter 23. Given at a point in history right after God had delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt, the feast was to be celebrated each year on the 15th day of this 7th month, and it was to run for those 7 days. Like all feasts, it included a holy convocation, or the Sabbath day, when the Israelites were to stop working and set aside a day completely for worship. On each day of the feast, they were to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And then after 7 days of feasting, again on the eighth day was to be this holy convocation. They were to cease from their work and offer another sacrifice to God. Leviticus chapter 23. This one lasted 8 days. The Feast of Tabernacles begins and ends with the Sabbath day of rest. During the 8 days of the feast, the Israelites would dwell in booths or tents or tabernacles that were made from branches of trees. Now, the interesting thing is, this is still happening today. For Orthodox Jews, they still erect temporary shelters during the Feast of Tabernacles. And these are made of very simple material, boards, little panels that they find, and always have a thatched roof so you can look up and see the stars. It provided some shade and a little bit of protection from the rain, but you could still look up and see that you're living not in a permanent structure. You're living in a temporary tent. Let's not forget that, amen. That's a great spiritual lesson for all of us. We're still living in a temporary tent. And the day of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths, was to celebrate that every night when the Israelites, you know, they walked around and around and around and around for 40 years, every night as they sat down and they built these little structures for protection. And they couldn't build permanently because they weren't in the promised land yet. Are y'all with me? The promised land is God's place of spiritual maturity for you and for me. Until then, we're working it out. Amen? We're wandering around trying to figure out what it is that God has for us. The 3 pilgrim feasts where all Jewish males were commanded to appear before the Lord in the place where He chooses. Likewise, we know that Pentecost, which marked the beginning of the Feast of Weeks, was the time of Jesus' bodily resurrection. And most scholars would agree that the Feast of Tabernacles is symbolic of Christ's second coming, when He will establish His earthly kingdom. Some believe it's very likely that John intentionally used the word Jesus dwelling among us as the word tabernacle, which simply means to dwell in a tent. He dwelt among us for a while, John says. Christ came in the flesh to dwell among us for a temporary time. He was born in a manger, and He is coming again to dwell among us as the Lord of Lords. The Feast of the Tabernacle begins and ends with a special Sabbath day of rest. And as they dwell in these booths, they are reminded that God provided for them every night, every day. 40 years, and the same holds true for us today. Amen. He preserves us in this world as we wait for his full plan of redemption to unfold. Jesus Christ is coming again to tabernacle with us in bodily form. So Jesus stood on this last and greatest day of the event. This is the beginning of his Judean ministry. He had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. And as a reminder of the water that had been given from the rock in the desert, by the way, remember Moses commanded the rock and the rock gave water? Water from a rock, that's a miracle. It's amazing. To celebrate that was the Feast of Tabernacles. That's why the priest used water during, and they poured it out as an offering on the altar during the Feast of Tabernacles. So in Isaiah chapter 12, which Jennifer gave me this verse back in about 2005, I'm not sure if we were officially open yet as a church or we were just getting started. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What a great reminder. Referencing the water from the rock. It may have been at the close of this ceremony that Jesus stood up and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty..." Jesus was bold. Stood up at the last and greatest day of the feast, a thoroughly Jewish event, talking all about history, and he said, while the priests are splashing water on the altar, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me, and from within him streams of living water will flow." That's bold. They were still talking about water from a rock. And Jesus said, "I'm your rock." Amen? Woo! Go, Jesus! Streams of living water will flow from within. The believers who receive this living water from Jesus would in turn become fountains from which that water would flow into the lives of others. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him would later receive. If I could ask our worship team to come on up. This is from one of our general superintendents. Just a little reflection I'd like to read in closing. A few years ago, I had the thrill of standing on the south porch of the temple grounds in Jerusalem. Many scholars believe that this is where Peter preached his powerful message on the day of Pentecost. Most of those in Peter's day who had to make the pilgrimage to Jerusalem expected another predictable Pentecost. Here we go, another predictable church service. But this Pentecost would be different. The Jewish festival was to be the fulfillment of all the Father had in mind when he gave this special feast to his people so long ago. Like many of us today, these Jerusalem pilgrims were so caught up in just getting by that they had little time to consider the living God. They were so familiar with all the promises of the long-awaited Messiah. They knew by heart the prophecy of Joel and the promises. They no longer fired their expectations and anticipations and imaginations. They read the words of Scripture, as many of us read them today, with appreciation, but with little hope that anything new would come of it. But this Pentecost would be different. The streets of the old city were soon filled with people moving here and there in preparation for the day. Commercial activity was coming alive. Then everything stopped. There was a sound like wind. There was a stirring in the air. Then suddenly, as soon as it came, it was gone. The people waited a few minutes. Nothing happened. Then they slowly resumed their activities. But this Pentecost was different. Different indeed. Because there were about 120 people praying in an upper room. And these people were filled with the Holy Spirit in a manner unlike the way they had received it when Jesus had breathed on them. They were, in Jesus' words, now baptized with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spilled out of the upper room into the streets of Jerusalem, and the world has never been the same. John 1:14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us for a while. And we have seen His glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth, and so it was, thanks be to God. But on this very Pentecost, the Word that became flesh no longer dwelled simply among the early disciples. Now that Word dwelled in them in all of His fullness. The Word would world would continue to see His glory. The good news for us today is that He will express His glory in and through each of us as we too are filled with His Spirit. I've seen Christ in the lives of those in whom He dwells. His grace and truth have become even more real to me through them. That's the miracle of Pentecost. The miracle of a life filled up to all the fullness of God. Jesus lives, and He lives in me. Christ lives His life in and through me. His message and His mission find expression through my life. That Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, was very different. I don't suppose we will hear any sound like a mighty rushing, roaring wind this morning. But it is Pentecost. And there will probably not be any tongues of fire that land on Brittany's shoulder. I don't know, maybe. Yet those were only signs of something that was happening of far more importance than a wind and a fire. God was filling His people. He was filling His people. And on the grand timeline of God, He was using it as the next step of redemption and salvation for the world that He loved and died for and sought to save. The question that we must ask today is, will this Pentecost be different for us? It could make all the difference in the world, both in this world and in the one to come. The Apostle Paul gave voice to this possibility when he invited the Christians in the first century to completely yield themselves to God. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. May this Pentecost be that life transforming and have that kind of transformational impact on us today. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you've got a brand new song for your vocabulary. Repertoire, even if it was written back in 1962, it goes like this. Let's stand together. There's a sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know that it's the spirit of the our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Let me hear you. Here we go. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know that it's the spirit of the Lord. There are sweet expressions on each face, and I know they feel the presence of the Lord. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with with your love. And for these blessings we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt we'll know that we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Just the